Hearth and Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's getting dialed in here. This is the GMS studio, which also my wife has now claimed this desk as her own as well. For years, this is where I did a lot of recordings. This has the best view of my house. And so, Johnny Combs, this is now her office. So I'm renting space for my own wife's office. So welcome to the Tuesday afternoon More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. A lot of talent on the live already. Oh my God. Welcome. Eric Boteto, Wojo, Scott, Maureen, Marina, Matt Smith. Matt Smith, thank you for driving 12 hours. Here's a little attaboy to Matt Smith. Drove 12 hours from West Virginia to be in Yonkers, New York. Thank all of you for attending the events. A lot of gratitude for all of you out there. Carmen, good to see you. So a lot of gratitude. And have a great Facebook Live here today on self-discipline. And what does that actually mean to be disciplined? Well, discipline means you can be beaten with a wooden spoon, or discipline means you're a disciple of. So in athletic ventures and in sports, discipline is imperative, that you have the discipline to go into the gym, you go to the field, you go to the weight room, you're disciplined. Now, when it comes to self and discipline, a lot of what many people avoid is being disciplined because they rebel. They're rebellious rebellers. In my book, The Procrastination Cure, and also the original version, From Procrastination to Production, I have a chapter on the rebellious rebeller. And addicts like to rebel because they like to be undisciplined. They don't have a method. They don't have a system. They don't have a routine. And they like to rebel against structure. They like to rebel against order. They're overwhelmed, overweight, unorganized, and undisciplined. Now, if that is you, this Facebook Live will assist you to have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. In childhood events, if you grow up with someone who's highly structured, who's highly critical, put you in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself, there's a possibility that's still having an effect on you today. So if you had to make your bed and you don't want to make your bed today, and you go, well, what's the purpose of making the bed if I'm going to get it tonight? Well, the way you do one situation is oftentimes the way you do many situations. So being disciplined is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. So my discipline may not fit your discipline. And I've been accused of being neurotic. I've been accused of being that I am unrealistic in a lot of other situations. But I, for me, from my own perspective, in the uppercase self, in myself, in uppercase. So uppercase self is consciousness. Lowercase self, like the little s, is anxiety, fear, and doubt. So in uppercase self and consciousness, I am disciplined. I am systematic. I am organized. I am self-directed. I am self-employed. So in that type of self, that's where self is edifying self. Self is comfortable self. But when I'm unorganized, I'm undisciplined, I'm overwhelmed, that's the lowercase self, the small s, that continues to perpetuate a set of feelings that stays emotionally addicted to events that get created to fulfill disappointment. Now, here's another major contradiction. There are many people who can perform admirably in a job, yet given the opportunity to have their own freedom, that person has challenges being disciplined because they don't have someone telling them what to do. Even though your higher self seeks freedom, your higher self seeks love, compassion, being able to live life on your terms in your time frame, when you're undisciplined, it makes it very challenging to be able to create the results, to live in the solution, and to be able to be disciplined enough to have dedicated blocks of time. And then if your anxiety based on unresolved issues focuses on rejection and abandonment and making mistakes and getting in trouble and failing, then you'll avoid being disciplined. Discipline requires a repetition and experience. So a great guitar player typically starts playing guitar when they're a child. They sit on the edge of the bed and they're just playing away. And that repetition and experience over and over, then they join a band. And even in a band oftentimes is rebellious because you're nonconformist. But a skilled musician pays the price and is practicing the discipline over and over, rehearsing, mastering ways to play that guitar, that instrument, and putting energy and devoting quality time into being the best that they can possibly be. Now, that being your best requires discipline. So that means requires listening skills. You're able to hear. You're able to hear what's meant, not said. Asking skills. You're able to ask the questions in a sequence. Interview skills. You're able to interview in a very relaxed body to find out if who you're communicating with is someone you can be a friend with, a teammate, a vendor, a client, a customer, any multitude of situations. So that in discipline, you're not winging it. Now, that's what many people do. They're so undisciplined, unstructured, don't have a routine, don't have a system, that they become addicted wingers. And they just try and wing it to success. And what many of you have found, and if you haven't figured this out yet, it will not let you arrive at the land of promise. So discipline is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. Like I said, my discipline isn't your discipline, but I suggest you start to have a better understanding of what being a disciple means. So being a disciple means that you're a student, and in student, you're in learn and produce mode concurrently at the same time. Now, what many people do to avoid failing is they stay in learn mode. And they learn and learn, but you want to be in a place where you learn and earn. So you're learning and earning in the same energy. You're able to attract your reality, people and situations that will foster this change you're in the process of creating. And as you're letting go, you're no longer the mind-body connection to being criticized, being ridiculed, being put in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. Now, being a nonconformist, it has some advantages, but it also becomes a disadvantage if you can't conform to a set of guidelines that are conducive to you creating results. Now, on the syllabus for today's Facebook Live, I wrote out 7 bullet points for that. And then my team, Dylan Albertson and Chris Scharr, puts that out into the world. They put it on Facebook. They put it in email, forum. And we have a series of artists that put that out. But here's the discipline I have. I lay this out I do these 3 weeks in advance. I write them out. So in valuing your time, so that means that you value your time. And so you have a monetary value on what 15 minutes, a half an hour, 3/4 of an hour, or an hour of your time is worth. I've assisted several holistic practitioners who undervalued their time and didn't ask for what they were worth, and I assisted them to raise their value and ask for a higher level of compensation because their time is valuable. And your time is valuable if you value it. It's not valuable if you procrastinate. And if you procrastinate, then you burn your most valuable commodity, time. And you want to be able to have an ROT. ROT is return on time, and ROE is return on energy. So when you put these two together, ROET, return on energy and time, that means you value it. And so you bring energy into an equation. You're bringing energy of consciousness into the equation. You're not in anxiety, fear, doubt. If you're in anxiety, fear, and doubt in time, you're going to devalue the time because you're not going to create the results that you operate. It means you spend more time worrying. Worry time devalues yourself because it affects your low self-esteem. And to be self-directed is to have self-esteem. It means you're comfortable, you're capable in being able to direct yourself on who to be while you're doing it in a very relaxed body. Now, as you start to master your emotions and understand that in a conversation or in any kind of business transaction, if it doesn't go favorably, someone doesn't buy from you, situation isn't ideal or perfect, you don't make it about you. You can be candid, honest, open, see the situation for what it is, and be able to easily and effortlessly let go. That would be self-discipline. But when you're a chronic relapser, that means you have no discipline. It means that you relapse back into familiar feelings, living in the analytical, egoic mind, going, I don't know, I don't understand, I don't know, I don't understand, I don't know, I don't understand. My whole childhood was a blur. I covered this with a few clients recently. There's sobriety and recovery, and then there's consciousness in sobriety and recovery. Now, that any kind of recovery or sobriety program, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, a 12-step program, they all give great context and great guidelines on how to have a system and routine to be in recovery and sobriety. But it's also your responsibility to move beyond that dry drunk state of being sober and being in recovery, but still having low self-esteem and not being able to create results for yourself, relegating you to having a job. As you continue to do what you do without understanding why you do it, you'll just keep recreating the same situation to fulfill the same feeling. And I see my superstar client, Marina Joy, on the Facebook Live today, as I see Scott Huminski, Scott Lucas, Matt Smith, Wojo. Thank you for being on this live today. And I know that those of you who have coached with me are having a much deeper understanding, cause and effect, mind-body connections, why I do what I do, and then most importantly, the separation of self from the events, so that there's not a neurochemical response to a familiar event, so you're not in anxiety, fear, fight, or flight. And you are a learner, you're learning the let go mechanism while surrendering your ego, which doesn't mean you're waving the white flag, but you're saying, I'm so done with this. I don't require this anymore. I don't require conflict, chaos, drama, overwhelm. And you start to elevate self into a place where you can direct yourself to freedom. So if you're seeking freedom, and this is a word that many people use, I own a business for freedom. Hi, Eric. It's Eric Picard. I own a business for freedom. Well, that's great, but the business doesn't give you freedom. The results you create in dedicated blocks of time, and then being able to have dedicated blocks of time to enjoy your life and enjoy yourself, is what will allow you to feel that freedom. Next Monday, my employee and millionaire apprentice, Dylan Albertson, will be saying, see you, California. I'm going back to Missouri, and my wife and I will be going to Hawaii. And we're going to take a few days off. We're shutting the office down. And I'm going to be enjoying some freedom in Maui. And I'm going to take fiction books. I'll also take Letting Go with me. People go, what are you going to do? Are you going to sightsee? No, I'm not going to do anything, dude. I'm going to go to the beach a few times. I'm going to dine out. And I'm going to enjoy freedom. Sandy girl, good to see you. So this is, and this comes from being a business owner, mastering the emotions, mastering the skills, dedicating blocks of time. And the trip I'm taking is not going on a credit card. It comes from profit dollars that I set aside every week to be able to experience that type of vacation. This isn't going on a credit card. I mean, this is profit dollars from free enterprise. You too can create that, provided you're self-disciplined. Now, self-discipline, once again, now understand this. It's self. It's you. You discipline yourself to be productive, to not avoid failing. This is what many people do. I'm going to spend my day, avoid failing. That doesn't compute to someone who's really in the game, but that's what many people do. They devote their time to avoid failing. Now, when you're ready to let go of this anxiety that you hold on to, and you can scale in and step up, and you can step into being a business owner, and you can let go of the stories and anxiety you tell yourself, now you can start to be a lot more disciplined and stop avoiding perceived failure and perceived pain that has not even happened. That's what letting go means, a separation of your feelings from the events that shape them so that you can be you and you can be free. And that freedom is going to come from you being able to let go of anxiety, fear, and doubt. So you can produce in a relaxed body and relax in a relaxed body. Now, that is not possible when you're overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, you're going to spend a lot of time worrying about situations that will happen. So how do I get discipline? Well, discipline is not something you get. Discipline is a state of being. And discipline does not mean you're disciplining yourself. It means that you have enough esteem, self-esteem, to dedicate the time to the craft, to the results, and to the solution. When I finish this call, I have a 20-minute coaching call. And then I coach several hours the rest of the day. I have another dedicated block of time. where I will prospect tonight. I will finish at 9 o'clock this evening. I will spend quality time with my wife. So these are dedicated blocks of time where I'm self-disciplined to be able to service the client, create the results, and then have a life. Now that's all how you perceive it. That's like beauty. That's in the eye of your beholder. Your schedule isn't my schedule. My schedule is set. I have a routine, a system, a method, and I'm self-disciplined. Now, once again, you don't imitate my schedule. My schedule won't work for you. My schedule is my schedule, and I'm disciplined in it. But you have to be able to dedicate this space over here like this, my time. Now, time, I have time to exercise. I have time to read. I have time to produce. I have time to enjoy. Now, this is my time. Now, you factor what your time is. My time is not your time. What time do you have dedicated to production? Take a long, deep breath. And then follow it by saying release. So here's what's on the syllabus here today. Procrastination, the thief of time. What procrastination means is you avoid. And this is what many people do to avoid being disciplined. And what they're avoiding is failing or perceived pain, tasks that they perceive to be painful. As you begin to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, you're not the mind-body connection to the events anymore. So when you're able to let go and not be so overwhelmed, you can devote more time. You should have exercise time, production time, spirituality time. I mean, that's for you to understand. I have mine dedicated down into 7 categories of how my time is blocked off. I use an at-a-glance day timer. I just bought 2020s about a month ago. I've already started filling it in for the first month. The day timer ends in January. I'm already into the February schedule. For my coaching, I just bought a book for my events for next year. I'm starting to fill those in for the events. January 18th, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. March 21st, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Breakthroughs to Success, the 12th through the 14th of March. I'm starting to fill in the dates. That is discipline. And the more you understand what is required of you to be and stay in free enterprise and business, then you'll stop rebelling against it. Your ego will do everything in its power to keep you in a place called familiar. And as you begin to understand how much of a chronic avoider, how overwhelmed you are, and you're able to let go without being critical of yourself, we can start to change. It may not be automatic. See, what does Eric Beteto says? Started the day every day with making the bed, have incorporated into my routine good habits, routines, or the day begins and success is born. Good discipline is key. Now, this is a rock star client of mine, Eric Beteto, who was very disciplined. He's an exceptional man. Moved from Long Island, New York, up to upstate New York, up to Saratoga, and absolutely is practicing self-discipline. And I'm very proud of some of the results. He's Rick Stout, who was a rock star coaching client of mine. Rick is an exceptional young man, under 30 years old. Rick says, discipline is key when all the pain of undisciplined actions be greater than the pleasure of procrastination. Rick, great content. Rick is a great content writer, by the way, and a very, very skilled professional salesman and a very skilled internet marketer. Once again, Rick is someone who has a good sales job with a dream and an aspiration of being a millionaire in his spare and part-time. He's very disciplined about building an internet marketing business. But he also has skills in the insurance industry, network marketing. I mean, he cut his teeth, mentored with a millionaire, coached with me for 2 years while he was in his mid-20s. I mean, he has discipline. And all of you could be that man or woman if you would let go. If your habits suck, your results will suck. I mean, in a gray world, that becomes black and white. And if your habits suck, you can do something about it today by letting go of the stories, the anxieties, the fears, the doubts that you continue to perpetuate over and over. Becoming accountable for your time. I mean, this means write it down, block it out, commit to it. It's non-negotiable. If you dedicate 2 hours to prospecting, follow through on it. Word is law. Production consciousness. It means that Your energy is devoted to producing results that empower you, empower others, creates money, transactions, cash flow, profit for your business. It's a production profit consciousness. It means it's production awareness, production I know. It means you devote time to production. And then self-discipline itself, notice the word self is in front of discipline. It means I am a disciple of good habits. That's what it really means. I am a disciple. I'm a great student who follows through on my word. My word is law. Number five, accountable to your goals. Now, these should be short-term, very clearly defined, not big goals, not being what someone said to me recently, I'm going to be worth $10 million by the time I'm 40. Well, great, but why don't you earn your first $100,000 first? See, that's what many people do, is they set such a big goal that they can't start. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having big goals, but you better have consistent action. And then number six, a compelling reason to change. One of the key bullet points on the 7 points of today's Facebook Live means that you have a why, that your why is clear and your why makes you cry. I mean, your why is, you feel it, baby. You mean you are so passionate about that home, that place you're going to live. You're passionate about walking away from that career, or that job that no longer serves you, and you have dedicated blocks of time. And you're home at a set time, and you're, when you walk into your house or your apartment, whatever it is, you're not wasting 2 or 3 hours getting ready to get ready, and you're not lingering around the office or the gym. It means that you have a clearly defined path of where you're going, and you're on it. And that means that you're accountable for your time. And then number seven, another key component is attracting to your reality prosperity and success seekers, or recovery and sobriety seekers. That means that you become very skilled at the skills of attraction, and you attract your reality more frequently in an occlusal alignment. It means it begins to line up. You attract your reality frequently, quality, like-minded, success, and prosperity seekers. Whether it's a soulmate, a teammate, a vendor, a contractor, someone you're going to outsource something, that the people you attract your reality are people who are dependable, they follow through, you can count on them, they show up on time, they produce results, and you have a connection to them. You're not in conflict with them. So as you begin to move into that type of energy, you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that continue to perpetuate the same set of feelings over and over. Now, today's a very unique and special day for me because 32, so I'm moving in my 33rd year of sobriety. So tomorrow marks day one of 33 years of sobriety. And today marks the end of the era, 32 years. 32 years ago, I was driving down a California freeway, very undisciplined, very overwhelmed, and a chronic addict. I had forgotten how to eat. I know that sounds bizarre, but eating just was not in my routine any longer. My day was consumed with drinking. Drinking and blacking out and being by the toilet with delirium tremors and alcohol convulsions and alcohol poisoning. So that's where I was 32 years ago. Today was my last drink 32 years ago. I got clean and sober and never drank again. That's discipline. Now, I didn't have that discipline for 14 years. I couldn't make it 14 hours without a drink. I drank 7 days a week. The only time I didn't drink is when I was in jail. So I drank 7 days a week from the time I was 18 to the time I was 31 years old, with a few interludes of being in jail, a couple of days and then 9 months. Those are the only days I didn't drink, because drinking was who I was. I had no discipline. I couldn't see myself not drinking. Sobriety, recovery, spirituality, being in better physical and emotional shape, all requires discipline. It means that you're putting the effort forth to be that person. Unfortunately, what I see a lot of really good people don't do is they don't put the effort forth. One of my good friends, Dr. Michael Thompson, has just joined the Facebook Live. Now, Dr. Mike is a very unique soul. Dr. Mike got to watch my whole story. He was with me back when I was really moving into discipline. I met Dr. Mike in 1995. He was in a business venture with me then. He was in the business venture with T.C. Bradley and me back in 1990. I started in 1996. Dr. Mike started in 97. He was a $250,000 income earner with me. And so he saw me transform my life. I was a patient of his in 1995. He saw me go from patient to millionaire in two businesses. And I had the privilege of having Dr. Mike as a teammate, and I coached him. So, I mean, it doesn't, it's not like you can't do or be this person. I mean, I went from being one of the most undisciplined alcoholic addicts that you could imagine. So if you went to the dictionary and Webster's goes, worst drunk I've ever met, I would be right in that category. I would be in the top 1% of worst drunk I've ever met. That would be me, because I had no discipline, overwhelmed, and a chronic alcoholic. I went from rock bottom to where I am today by being disciplined. And that self, I don't have someone looking over my shoulder going, oh, dude, you're fucking up. What are you doing? I mean, it's for me. And if it's meant to be, if you're meant to be free, it's up to me. That's you. That's you. It's your determination. That's your skill set. And that's the courage to persevere and then elevate up into consciousness. So once again, 32 years ago, I mean, when's your first day of emotional sobriety? Today would be a good day to start to have that discipline. Make your bed, produce results, take a walk, exercise, simple discipline practice one day at a time, day by day, inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard. Break it down, keep it simple. Have a great afternoon, everyone. If you've not accessed a free 20-minute coaching call, you can send me a message on Facebook, and I will return your request immediately. Jeffrey Combs, have a great day. And we're 1 week away from Christmas. Oh, how awesome is that going to be? Finish the month of December on an absolute plateau of consciousness. Really step into your power. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Goodbye.